Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, to Throwdown on Tuesday, live from Cleveland, Ohio. It's American Sports History Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, a friend, Peter Ray. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. We're up to 77 right now. I'll get to these questions momentarily, send them over to Peter. But if you missed this show and you want to hear the archive, catch it on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me, laying down the red carpet, putting the podium in its place, handing off the mic. First of all, the famous three questions, Peter. How are you? How you can be found? And you're bringing a legend in here that opened a door for me last Tuesday in the All-Star game. I am so indebted to this guest you have tonight, my friend.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. The channel name is my name, Peter J. Ray, R-E-A. We make history videos every year at Cleveland Baseball. And you're absolutely right. Tonight's guest, for the second time, he played MLB from 1971 to 1981 with the Chicago Cubs, Oakland A's, L.A. Dodgers, and San Francisco Giants. Won two World Series in 1973 and 74 with the Oakland A's. Career 395 stolen bases, twice led the American League in stolen bases in 1974 and 76. He had more than 1,000 hits. He was the first Oakland A's designated hitter. He won a National League title in 1978 with the Dodgers. Three times he led the American League in total outfielders with total chances per game. Twice in putouts, once in assists, and from the outfield on double plays. And yesterday he was inducted into the Washington State Sports Hall of Fame. Welcome to the, again, one of the cool, a guy from the leadoff hitter and center fielder from the coolest team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s, Mr. Bill North.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you. Thank you, Peter, for the glowing introduction.
So, first of all, Bill, do you want to talk about your induction in the Washington State Sports Hall of Fame yesterday?
Well, it's humbling. It was a nice night. Seattle's having good weather. But one problem was my friend Dusty. The induction was yesterday, the 25th, and he left town on the 24th. And I would love for it to be they were playing here too. But all in all, it's just an honor and to be included in that entity, and I'm happy about that.
Would you like to talk about your friendship with Dusty Baker?
Okay. We were both in the Winter Instruction League in Arizona in 69. And I was going to school at Arizona State because that was part of my contract and to continue my schooling. And he was down there in Winter Instruction League. Bunch of stars. If you could go back and find some of the names that played in that Winter Instructional League in Arizona in 69, damn near all of them went to the big leagues, a lot of stars. But he and I met on Arizona State campus, a friend of ours, and we've been friends ever since. He's one person that I would die for. He's been a brother to me for a real long time. And one of the most gracious, kind, and humble individuals you can ever meet in your life. I'd go to the mats for him.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Whoever he's managing, you support that team. Currently, the Houston Astros.
Yep. Hey, man. That's how deep our relationship is. I never throw him over the throw him out of the boat over a home team or anybody else. I want him to win every night. I'm waiting for him to go 162-0.
Yeah, that was. I was just looking back about 2002. He got to the Giants late. They had a lead in Game 6 of the World Series, and then we had Scott Spezio on, who, of course, the Angels end up when he had a big home run, and then in 2003, the Cubs, and that was that Steve Bartman game where the Cubs were knocking on the door of the World Series, and. Of course, last year he lost. He got to the World Series, so that's interesting. Your friendship with Dusty Baker, yeah, one of the he's really had a tremendous managing career.
Sure, he has. He got that 2000 win. If in some of those situations, if he was at the plate, it could hit in them, they would have won. Okay, because he was that kind of hitter, but. The fact that the biggest factor about Dusty is that anybody in the game that's been around or even now, they know Dusty Baker. He is a player's manager to the nth degree. He's got players from his first team and from when he was playing that still call him and keep in touch with him. And they all love him because he was a fair man, and he was a truthful man in a venue where lies were preeminent. But he is a strong and good principled man, and you have to mess up on him because he ain't going to mess up on you, okay?
And he's 73. Does he have any plans of retiring at age 73?
Well, I'm not going to talk about that, but we
okay. Right, yeah. Right. That's a kind of a personal thing. We have, let's see, Vince from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. He's talking about there was a stupid question asked Nick Castellanos the other day in Philadelphia. Bill, have you ever been asked any stupid questions by sports writers?
I have been asked more stupid questions than I have been asked good questions. Yeah, but it's the kind of thing that these guys are looking for you to do something and that. And I've always measured my words whenever there was a microphone in front of me because of that they get the last say. And any response that you give, just come back on you. But as far as Nick and what he asked, what the reporter asked him, I think it's more on the reporter than it is on him.
Nicholas from Peoria, Illinois. The Astros are so dangerous. Dusty Baker is a gem. Any thoughts on the cheating scandal? I think it's bogus, tough to cheat in baseball.
I'm sorry to tell you, but didn't Nick, is this guy's name Nick?
Nicholas, another guy, yeah, Nicholas.
Yeah. Peoria, Illinois is a town that's pointed in my mind. But baseball and cheating, and I don't want to break anybody's bubble, pop anybody's bubble, but there were a number of other teams that they had found that were cheating at the same level or more than the Astros. But in order to keep a reasonable image, they didn't bring those out. Because if you publicize all the things that really happened, then you're going to develop a fan base that the whole game is about cheating. And they didn't want to do that. But the Astros weren't the only ones. And the fact Dusty came there after that in order to be able to handle the press that season and the players because they were treated viciously after that. But he was only – they went and got him because he and his reputation and his quality of who he is was the only one that could handle that, and I think he did that because all that pressure about cheating. I was at the game the other day, and they were still talking about booing and talking about Altuve about cheating. And you know what? They've been cheating in baseball for a very long time. And I saw some of it. I'm not going to tell you. I was involved in it. But there are little things you do to get an advantage. Ask Gaylord Perry.
Denise from San Francisco. Hi, Peter and Bill. Someone save my San Francisco Giants. They have fallen in the Pacific Ocean.
I don't know what to tell you, honey, but they could turn around in the day. Some days you eat the bear, some days the bear eats you.
Steve, go ahead.
They've been having a meal on San Francisco right about now.
Steve from Spokane, Washington. The Seattle Mariners got swept by the Houston Astros after a 14-game winning streak. Astros are going to win the World Series, no doubt.
Because they beat Seattle? I don't think so. You know what? It goes back to who's hot and who's not at the end. Being an injury is always the biggest factor in the game. But Seattle has come along. You didn't even used to talk about them so many years. But these guys they got over there, they're a good young bunch. But Houston had better pitching, and they hit. They jumped on them. But that's, come on, man, you got a lot of games to play. They came out and beat Texas last night. And, you know, I think that they're a good organization. I think that they, if handled correctly, can develop a firm level of playing baseball. I think that they play defense real well. And they got some young pitchers that have done a good job. If you look at the pitching job that Houston did in those three games, I was there. And they did a heck of a job, man. Seattle was coming from behind the whole time. And then they closed them out. But it's a long season. I'd love to see Seattle get to the postseason. That's my story.
Let's see. We got another comment here. This show is awesome. You fellows are good. Listening live in Columbus, Ohio. That's Tom. Thanks, Tom, for your comment. Rick from Modesto, California. Save the Oakland A's. Bill, I don't want them to move.
Well, you get to follow the money. And that, I don't want them to move. I think as baseball goes, they would be in their statements and in their missions about being about the people and helping to revive a city. If they left out of Oakland right now, they would leave a situation that did no matter what they did at the All-Star game and about committing to a better society and a better culture, that would be taking away something from a needed city, a city that needs them. And they have that stadium that they're talking about, to me, as in many other cities, Denver, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Baltimore, when they built that stadium downtown, and that, it revived the whole city, okay? And I feel very, very strongly about the fact that Oakland, sometimes those people that are running it want the money and want to get richer rather than being a cultural help and a societal and civil help to a city. They generate a lot of money, and it also gives the city pride And when you lose any major league team, basketball, you lost something that is integral to the furtherance of the city, because they don't come back.
Albert from Poway, California. Love the Bear Eats You concept, Bill. Tell you what, I got the San Diego Padres winning the World Series after we give Juan Soto $500 million. What are you worth, Peter and Bill?
What am I worth? I don't know. You tell me. But as far as the Padres, according to you, now that we know who's going to win, all we got to do is play the games. Right.
David from Louisville, Kentucky. Wow, this is great. Bill North on the show. Thank you, Peter. I love the Oakland A's growing up, the swinging A's, best in the 70s.
Yes, that's true. And we could have even done more, but those guys were professional and they played the game with a fundamental play, and we were strong up the middle. We're playing in a park that the pitchers loves because of foul ground and that, but we played our park and we beat people wherever we needed to. And those guys, whenever they stepped between the white lines, were as efficient as any team has ever been in the game.
Now back to your career, your teammates, the 1971 Cubs. What are your thoughts on Ferguson Jenkins?
He's a beautiful man. He's a really, really good person. He was my roommate because they kept – giving me these roommates, the older players like Juan Pizarro and Ellie Hendricks, because they wanted me to learn the big leagues and keep me out of trouble. And I appreciate all of them. And Fergie and I roomed together for a while, but pretty soon I started paying for a single room because I don't like to hear all of that snoring that men do.
Milt Pappas.
Good man. He was throwing a no-hitter in Chicago one time, and there was a ball hit in left center field, and I was going for it, and when I turned up to go get it, I slipped and fell, and Billy Williams came across, caught the ball at his shoulder because it was his ball, and I was panicking and said, "What are you doing?" Looked back at me and said, "What are you doing?" And it saved me from making Neil Pappas. We wanted him to get that, and I didn't want to be the catalyst of not getting it. So, yeah, good man.
Did Pappas get that no-hitter?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Ken Holtzman.
Well, and that one right there, right after Pappas, when Kenny and I were with Oakland, he was throwing a no-hitter for 8 2/3 or 8 1/3. And it was Tom Verizer. We were pitching him hard away. So I'm in right center field and short, and Kenny throws him a ball, and I'm not going to put the blame on Kenny, but I was playing where we said we were going to work him, and he threw a ball that went into left center field, and it dropped in. So I think he still holds we're friends in that, but I think he still holds a little – thing inside of him. Damn, Billy, you should got that ball.
Juan Pizarro.
One of the gentlemen in the game. As I picture him in my mind, I can see him smoking that big old cigar. And just a gentleman and you're talking about people that are kind to me, that were kind to me, and he was very kind to me, and I appreciate him being in my life.
Bert Hooten.
Eddie Hooten. Knuckle Kerr. Yeah, we came into the Cubs organization same time, and his career paralleled mine, and I consider him a friend. He was kind of quiet, didn't talk much, but he could pitch. At University of Texas, wasn't he?
No, I don't know.
Well, I'm asking you the question.
Okay.
Can I say I don't know? Anyway.
Larry Gura.
Larry Gura, Arizona State boy. Didn't throw hard, but I remember him fondly, and he did a good job.
Okay, the 72 Cubs. Go ahead.
He was quiet, too. Uh-huh.
Okay, the 1972 Chicago Cubs, Rick Monday.
He was the center fielder there. I came over. I'm not sure. I think he went to the Dodgers after 72. Rick Monday's Rick Monday. He came to the game and played a good athlete, Arizona State. They sent him from the A's to Chicago, I'm thinking. And we passed like in the night because they sent me out of there in 72, winter 72.
Jose Cardenal.
Junior was a tremendous baseball player. I had a spring, and they were scheduled to have me start in right field because I had a good spring in that. But then when we got back, after the strike, we got back, there was some miscommunication, let's call him that. But as a person, and everybody loved him, he was a good player, had a great arm. Saw a game, we were playing a game one time, and Clemente went in the right field corner, somebody's tagging up on second base. He turned around and threw a laser that looked like a telescope because it kept stretching out. And he threw it right on top of the bag to third base and got him out. During that game a little bit later, or maybe before, one way or another, Cardenal had the same play. His throw was off by about a foot. And same play, same action in that. And that guy was safe. But Cardenal was a player and a good man. He came as a smart man, knew the game. Yeah.
Got it. We have a comment here. No one can top a baseball show like you two. This is from Matt from Warren, Ohio. Thanks. Thanks, Matt.
I appreciate it. Being here. Fun. Yeah.
In 1972 with the Cubs, you hit 181 in 24 games. Any comment?
Yeah, I was on a hitting streak to get to that. Yeah, I had gone from number one prospect in the Cubs organization to number one suspect. They weren't playing. We had a disconnect. In the winter, I was glad that 72 season was over, but everybody hates that first trade. And my brother told me, instead of looking at where you've been, look at where you're going. And I went to the World Champions and got two rings. So God is good, and everything works out in his own way. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, here the Oakland A's win the 1972 World Series, and then they decide to trade for you to be their starting center fielder and leadoff hitter. I mean, that's kind of, boy, talk about things turning around for you, you know, with talk about how life can change. That's amazing.
That's not what happened. When I came over there in the winter and when we went to spring training, I had the best spring training of any center fielder, but they had traded for Billy Conigliaro. And he was a good player, but limited. And Charlie would, since he traded for him, he gave him, and he was in the league a little bit longer, he gave him a shot, and Dick Williams didn't. Dick talked to me. He kept in contact with me about what was happening. And Conigliaro eventually petered out. But Dick came to me and he says, you know, I know you're ready. But I've got to give Angel a shot at center field because he's been with me. And I said, Skip, I understand that. And then he missed the cutoff man in Baltimore.
Angel Mangual.
Yeah, one of my favorite friends, a good player, and a wonderful person. God rest his soul. But after that, we were in Baltimore. Earl Weaver and Dick Williams, both of those managers were intense, okay? And Dick didn't like to lose, but we lost that game. And he came in. They turned the table over where the food was. Ain't nobody eating in here tonight. And turned it over. And as he was going to his office, he came by my locker. He said, in my office. And I had pinch hit and stole base and scored a run, actually, in the top of the ninth, the one that put us here. And I went in there, and he says, you know what? I know you've been waiting, and you've been good. And now you're the center fielder here till you fall flat on your face. And gave him my first job, and I played a long time, and every day after that.
And the rest is history. You joined a World Series championship team, and became the starting center fielder and leadoff hitter. Wow, amazing. Tremendous. Incredible.
But it was the kind of thing that it was a natural for me, and I just did what I was supposed to do, and I understood that, you know, bitching and moaning about whether I'm playing or not, I had a relationship with Dick Williams, that he knew what kind of person I was and he knew what I knew about the game. And I was a baseball player and I tried to play smart. And if you're going to play for Dick Williams, you better.
Elrod Hendricks, another teammate on the 72 Cubs.
Yeah, they gave me him as a roommate too. When they, Juan Pizarro, I had three before I got to be able to go out on my own. Ferguson Jenkins, Juan Pizarro, and Elrod Hendricks. These guys taught me a lot about the game and about the business and about being in the major leagues. And their help was very enlightening, and I needed it. But they prepared me for a lot of situations, and they worked out. I appreciate and love everyone.
Our guest has been Mr. Bill North, who played Major League Baseball from 1971 to 1981. One of the best center fielders of the 1970s, stole a lot of bases, won a couple of World Series with the Oakland A's, the coolest team of all time. Our time has run out for tonight. Bill, do you have any final thoughts for the audience tonight?
I just want to thank you, Peter, for including me and me being able to talk about the game. and the fans, you know who you are. You guys are the blood and guts of the game, and we thank you so much for even considering us, because you don't have to. And for you being about us and saying all the nice things that you do, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been just, to me, amazing having having you on the show. Bill North, wow, I can't, we've been talking. It's just a real gift. Talk about a gift and your willingness to come on every couple weeks. It's just, to me, it's just incredible to hear about, yeah, especially I'm hearing about the Oakland A's from the early 70s and from your perspective, and just being able to talk to someone like you is just absolutely amazing. So I'm really, really grateful. Next week we're going to have on the show the author Dan Good, who wrote a book this year, Playing Through the Pain, Ken Caminiti and the Steroids Confession That Changed Baseball Forever. In 2 weeks, we'll have Mr. Bill North again. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again, Mr. Bill North.
Thank you.
Okay, wonderful.